You can be turning in your copy of the Scriptures to the 100th Psalm with me this morning, as through this month we'll be looking at the 100th Psalm, a psalm calling us to sing, to praise, to remember the goodness of God. Our text for today is the second verse. Let me read the first two verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I'm tired. For several years, I've been blaming it on middle age. I guess that's what 44 is. I guess 44 is half of 88. That's pretty middle, isn't it? Maybe iron poor blood, lack of vitamins, air pollution, water pollution, dieting, yellow wax buildup. I don't know. A dozen other maladies that make you wonder if life is really worth living. But now I find out 'tain't that. I'm tired because I'm overworked. The population of this country is almost 300 million. 84 million are retired. They're not working. That leaves 116 million to do the work. There are, well, you know, this is old math. This is after 200 million, so we'll go with that. There are, because I know there's some mathematicians out there. There are 75 million in school, which leaves 41 million to do the work. Of this total, there are 22 million employed by the government. That leaves 9 million to do the work. $4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves $15 million to do the work. Take from that total of 14,800,000 people who work for the state and city governments, and that leaves 200,000 people to do the work. There are 188,000 in hospitals, so that leaves 12,000 to do the work. Now there are 11,998 people in prisons. That leaves just two people to do the work, you and me. And you're standing there reading this, no wonder I'm tired. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Say that with me, would you please? Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, let me make something very clear. What the psalmist is talking about is not what we do when we come into these four walls. When he says, serve the Lord with gladness, the first question I ask is, how do you serve the Lord? This word, serve, is first seen in the book of Genesis, where Adam is commanded to cultivate the ground. That was his job. That was his vocation. Serve the Lord with gladness. It is also found in Exodus and Deuteronomy, where God gives the law to His people Israel, and He gives them the law of the Sabbath day. And He says, you shall work 6 days. You shall work 6 days. That's this word. Serve the Lord with gladness. Is it bringing it into context now? Work for the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Because this word serve is also translated labor, obey, worship. These are ways that we serve the Lord. Oftentimes I wonder in our culture today if there is not a serious Sunday disconnect. It can happen very easily, can't it? There was in the late 60s a man by the name of John Higgins who was leading a somewhat of a youth revival. And he said something to the effect about the music that he was hearing in churches. And he said, you know, when he went in to hear the music of the churches, he just didn't find something that made you just leave and go into another world. You know, some people look for that in music, for just the music to enrapture them and take them into another time and another place. Scriptures don't command that. The Scriptures command us to do exactly what we just sang about, to exalt the King of Kings and His majesty. All within me falls at Your throne. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve Your majesty. But you know, maybe we do that. We come to church with a serious disconnect and say, well, there is nothing here that is going to relate to the rest of my week. So I'm just going to come in here, just leave everything else behind, and I'm just going to go into another world, another time, or another place. Do we do that? My question is this. Are we not in the world, but not of the world? Is not what I do outside these walls in the category of how I serve God and worship Him? Is worship only what we do in here? What good is this service if it has no connection to or impact on our service the rest of the week? Serve the Lord with gladness. Understanding that what I do 7 days a week, I am serving the Lord. And I am called to serve Him with gladness. We'll break this down a little bit more. So the first question is, how do you serve? And so I encourage you to ask yourself that question. How do you serve the Lord? And you are called to serve Him with gladness. We are told in the New Testament very clearly that even in our vocation apart from the assembly of the believers, it is the Lord Christ that we serve. And so as you look at Psalm 100 verse 2, the next question is, who do you serve? Serve whom? The Lord. The Lord, Jehovah. He is the self-existent one. Let me share something with you. God doesn't need you. It sounds harsh, I know, but it's true. If He needed you, He wouldn't be God. But He created you for the purposes of drawing you to Himself so that you would enjoy Him. You see, it is His nature of love that compelled Him to create you in His image so that He would be able to share the joy, the fulfillment of Himself with another. You see, in that way, life is a continuum. It has no beginning or end because it's rooted in God. So God doesn't need the things that you can do for Him. But He does want you. He desires you. It's a profound truth. The New Testament tells us clearly we were made by Him and what? For Him. That is a statement that gives you meaning and purpose in your existence. That is the quintessential biblical statement, existential statement right there. We were made by Him and for Him. That's our origin. That's our purpose. That's our end. That is our design. That is our fulfillment. The fact that I am made not only by Him, but for Him. I exist for God. For the Lord Jehovah, for the living God. I exist for Him. In that only will I find my ultimate fulfillment. This is why the Lord in the Old Testament, we read in the book of Exodus where Moses goes before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go that they may serve me, that they may worship me. In that sense, we understand that worship is not just an event. It is a life. It is a lifestyle. And this worship, when he says, serve the Lord with gladness, and we are serving the Lord, it is not bondage, it's liberating. Because when I recognize that I am made for God, I live to worship you, the song says. That's my definition. I was created for that very purpose. And only when I function according to the purpose of my design, then I find my ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction. Serve the Lord with gladness. The writer of Hebrews says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience," listen to this, "from dead works to serve the living God." They are two opposites. They can't be one and the same. From dead works to serve the living God. What does that mean? It means that in Christ, as I have placed my faith in Him, He has liberated me from the oppressive bondage of what? Self-servitude. As He makes very clear in Colossians chapter 1, He has liberated us from the dominion of darkness. And that darkness represents an oppressive bondage that would tie me down and hold me back from fulfilling the very design for which I was created. And so I am liberated from the bondage of self-servitude. My appetites, my life, my rights, my agenda. You see, and when it's all mine, when it's my life and my rights, that means I am the one who has to what? Protect them. And promote them. And that makes life all about me. And that's nothing but bondage. Nothing at all but bondage. Christ has liberated me from that. And therefore, I can serve the Lord with gladness. As we see the contrast in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, the apostle says, "We make it our ambition to be pleasing to Him. As one who is a new creation, the very definition of my life and everything that I do throughout the course of the week, it is my ambition to be pleasing to Him." I encourage you, write that verse down and put it in your place of school or work and leisure. We make it our ambition to be pleasing to Him, meaning there's nothing that is more important to me than to be pleasing to the very one who created me for Himself. That's my design. In that I will find my satisfaction. The apostle also says in 2 Corinthians 5 and then verse 15, he says, "He died for all that those who live should no longer live what? For themselves." You see, that's the problem that we're born with. We are born with a natural bent of living for ourselves. Anyone who's had young children knows that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Our children need to be rescued and trained out of the bondage of living for themselves. That's why God gave them parents. You do your child a service if you give your child everything he or she wants. It's not love. You're only promoting their bondage. That was extra credit, by the way. No extra charge for that. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Not only is He my Creator, and I make it my ambition to be pleasing to Him. Why? Not only because He is my Creator, who created me and created me for Himself, but also because He laid down His life for me. Why? So that I could be reconciled to Him. Therefore, that becomes the very definition of my life. Not just in these walls, but when I walk out of here, and the people that I engage in the marketplace and in my home, I make it my ambition to be pleasing to Him alone, and that I live for Him. And that the statement of my life, the fragrance of my life, is the very fact that I am living for Him. He defines me. Therefore, I serve the Lord with gladness. The highest function of a created being is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and all your strength. That is the highest function of a created being. And when it says with all your strength, that is a direct reference to your ability, what you are able to perform and to accomplish in your work, in your industry. The highest function of a created being is to love God with all your strength, all that you can do. All day, every day. In other words, we love God in our work, in our leisure, in our worship. Not apart, our work is not apart from our love for God, but out of our love for God. Flowing out of our love for God. That is a way that our work can be revolutionized with that perspective. The third question that is asked in the notes, with what disposition do you serve? Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve means to work, to labor. We make it our ambition to be pleasing to Him that is singular in its focus. But He says, serve the Lord with gladness. That word gladness means joy, mirth. How unfundamental of us. With delight, this is to serve the Lord with gladness. It means to do it with the delight of one who has been liberated. Picture in your mind a people that have just been liberated from bondage. And what do you see? You see dancing in the streets. You hear shouts of joy. God calls us to this because we have been liberated. Pierre de Chardin said this, joy is the surest sign of the presence of God. If you were to go to Buckingham Palace over in the UK, there is at times a flag flying over the palace. It is a flag that bears the coat of arms of the Queen of England. When that flag is flying, what does it mean? The Queen is there. And there is a man whose whole job is to manage that flag. And when that flag is flying, you know the Queen is in the palace. Walter Knight, joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in residence. You see, the idea of the residence of the King inside of me, what rules my heart? Remember the questions from last week? What rules your life? Is the King in residence? Have you indeed been liberated? If that is the case, then joy is the flag that's flying. And it's there that's visible to other people. And they recognize that the King is in residence. Sherwood Wirt wrote this, joy is the enjoyment of God and the good things that come from the hand of God. If our new freedom in Christ is a piece of angel food cake, joy is the frosting. If the Bible gives us the wonderful words of life, joy supplies the music. If the way to heaven turns out to be an arduous, steep climb, joy sets up the chairlift. The psalmist says this, in your presence is fullness of joy. You see, that reflects our design, doesn't it? Because we are people created by God, for God, in the image of God. We were designed for the very enjoyment of God Himself. And when we exercise that, we find our greatest joy and fulfillment. Now, this is an exhortation of the Scriptures. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The next question is, what happens if you do not serve the Lord with gladness? I like what William Barclay said. Listen to this. A gloomy Christian is a contradiction in terms. That's true. Listen, that statement is not saying that there is no such thing as sorrow and sadness for the Christian. When it talks about a gloomy Christian, it's talking about a general disposition. Barclay also said something to the effect that few things have done more damage to Christianity than long faces in association with black clothes. What, do we live a funeral or something? Serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Because we recognize who God is and what He has accomplished in us and for us. What was true of Israel if they did not serve the Lord with gladness? Listen to this. This is very important. Deuteronomy 28, Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies. Now think about that. Yes, that was written to a covenant people a long time ago. But is it different for us today? I think the Lord makes it clear to us. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies. Put that in perspective. Serving the Lord with gladness is your design and purpose. Anything other than serving the Lord with gladness means that the efforts of your life and the ventures of your life will at best be frustrating and at worst will be self-destructive. Because I am designed for the very purpose of serving the Lord and doing it with gladness. And if I choose another path, because joy is a choice, happiness is a choice, isn't it? Serving the Lord with gladness is your design and purpose. Anything other than that is at best frustrating and at worst self-destructive. The next statement in Psalm 100 verse 2 gives us some foundational meaning to the injunction to serve the Lord with gladness. And the next statement is to come before His presence with singing. This is what gives us the why we should serve the Lord with gladness. We've somewhat talked about the how and the who. Let's talk about the why. You see, what we have here in this statement, come before His presence with singing, is a profound invitation. Not only is it a profound invitation, but it is a unique invitation in the whole arena of religion and spirituality. Because it is an invitation. It says come, doesn't it? Come before His presence with singing. Now, what makes it profound? Those two words, before Him or before His presence, it is the word, the root of which means face. The idea of coming face to face with someone. You know how it is when you're rejected by someone? What do? They turn their face away. They walk out. They turn their back on you. The opposite of that is when there is acceptance, they turn towards face to face. And that's the way it is even in the illustration of the Scriptures. And that's the, in the Bible it says, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. That's the idea of God pouring His blessings upon you and that you recognize His acceptance. Now, what's profound about this is this. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. The Lord says, you cannot see My face, for no man shall see Me and live. Do we recognize who God is, that He is in fact the infinite, omnipotent, absolutely holy God, and I am not? And yet He invites me to come before His presence. Moses and Elijah and even the seraphim covered their faces in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, those that remained alive after seeing what they knew to be representations of God were overwhelmed with astonishment and gratitude. I want you to look at something very, very interesting with me. Turn back to the second Psalm, Psalm 2. Look at Psalm chapter 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. What does that teach us about God? He's not just a buddy and He's not just a concept. He is your infinite, absolutely holy Creator. Nothing changes that. Nothing can. And therefore, when I serve God and I'm even invited before Him, that is the perspective I must maintain. That He is God and infinite and holy and I am not. serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now couple that right together with what the psalmist says in the 100th Psalm, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Both are true. Both are necessary. Because we must recognize God for who He is, but we also must recognize the work that He has accomplished for us. For that reason, we can come before Him with gladness. We can serve Him. We can come before Him with gladness and rejoicing and singing and a joyful shout. Now, this idea of fear in Psalm 2:11, where it says, serve the Lord with fear, let me just briefly define fear for you. Fear is this. I'm not going to get into it, but it's more than reverence, okay? It's more than reverence. The word fear simply means, it means trembling. It means being afraid of. And that is appropriate before an infinitely holy God. Fear is simply this. Let me define it for you. Recognizing His infinite majesty and my accountability. That's a healthy fear. Now let me make this statement. Listen carefully to this, because it is true. What you fear is what rules your life. That begs the next question, doesn't it? What do you fear? And do you fear anything more than God? Are there people that you fear? If you fear them more than you fear God, you are serving them and not serving God. Think about that. There are lots of ramifications and implications there. That's why it says, serve the Lord with gladness. We make it our ambition to be pleasing to Him, because it is before Him that I will ultimately stand, not before anyone else. I will not stand before a created being. I will stand before God. The next question, is your God big or small? The profundity of this is just simply in a contrast. Contrast yourself and God. God is infinite. He is omnipotent. He is the Creator who is absolutely holy. The supreme being of absolute perfection. Does that describe you and me? Well, let me put it this way. No, it doesn't. But this supreme being of absolute perfection invites you to come before Him. And He has made the way possible. Think of that. Ponder that. This is where meditation becomes important. God is infinite and absolutely holy. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And He has come and done the work necessary so that you can come to Him. That is implicit in this invitation to come before His presence with singing. With singing. And this word singing means a ringing cry, a shout for joy. That's what it means. In the New Testament, we are invited to come before the throne of grace with boldness. That boldness represents a confidence. We have a confidence in what God has done so that I can come before Him and enjoy His presence. And that's what makes this a unique invitation, finally. Not only is it a profound invitation, it is a unique invitation. It is profound in recognizing what God has done. It is unique in understanding that there is no other invitation like it in the world. In no other faith system will you find an infinitely holy God who invites the people to come before His presence and enjoy Him, based on the grounds that we have. You see, God has manifest Himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That's the way the writer of Hebrews puts it. We have a boldness to enter the holiest place, the very presence of God, by the blood of Jesus. The only way into the presence of God is through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And we can do so with a confident shout of joy. Jesus said Himself, the pure in heart will see God. And that is those that have a singular, undivided devotion to the Creator Redeemer. The pure in heart will see God. So loved ones, built upon this unique and profound invitation to come before His presence with singing and to serve the Lord with gladness, let's do that. Recognizing who God is and what He has done, let's serve the Lord with gladness because we can and have been invited to, and the way has been made for us to come before His presence with singing. Delight yourself in the Lord, in here and out there, because of who He is and what He has done. May that always be right on the very forefront of our thoughts, our attitudes, and the impetus of our actions.